What Peter is saying, that when the Holy Spirit has really touched you and you really truly have been born again of the Holy Spirit and you're really a child of God, yes, we are weak and yes, we're going to trip and fall, but we don't willfully go out and sin against God the way we used to when we were in the world. We don't do that anymore.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Thanks for joining us for our ongoing study of 1 Peter. Today, Roel will challenge you to follow Jesus' example of focused fearlessness as you order your life to carry out God's kingdom-building work. No matter how your witness is received or how many days you have left on the earth, you can honor the Lord with your obedience. Stay with us to consider the power of selfless humility. Here's Roel Reese.
In this great chapter 4 of 1 Peter, Peter's helpful and encouraging by teaching on the subject of suffering. That is, he's going to tell us that we're not the first ones to suffer. The first one that ever suffered tremendously was Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the example. He's the one that was sent from all eternity to come down to this little earth, to live in the city of Nazareth. And then as he grew up, he went to Jerusalem. And when he went to Jerusalem, for the next 3.5 years, in preaching, teaching, and healing. People that wanted to hear, people that didn't want to hear. Choosing 12 men, one of them a devil, a betrayer, Judas. And yet even unto the end of time, when he comes to the Gospel of John, chapters 13 through 17, and he begins to actually plan it all out and say to those guys, look, you guys, I want you to know that I've been with you for 3.5 years, and I love you with all of my heart. But I want you to know one thing. That I'm going to be leaving. When they heard those words that he was going to be leaving, they lost it. What do you mean you're going to be leaving? Who's going to be with us? And then he began to expound to them about the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit, which had not come yet. But he began to share with them that he would not leave them as orphans, but that he would send the Paracletus, the Holy Spirit, the one that would come alongside to assist them in their time of need. He would become their teacher. He would become the convictor of their lives. And the day when Jesus Christ was arrested and tried and crucified, and he was on that cross, when he spoke his last 7 words on the cross, when he came to his final word and he dismissed his spirit, then it was the beginning of the end. Because for the first time now, all hell understood that Jesus Christ had come to set the captives free. And what's interesting is that he speaks about this whole situation when he goes down and he preaches to the captives and sets them free. He goes to Abraham's bosom and then he sets them free. And he says, okay, you guys, gather together. We're departing today. They've been there for 2,000 years. And all of a sudden, this place called Abraham's bosom is emptied out. And then all of hell becomes one massive place. And remember the two thieves on the cross? One cursed them, one blessed them. And he said to the one that blessed them, today you'll be with me where? In paradise. Imagine what Peter must have been feeling, thinking of all those lessons he had received from the Lord. As he stood there watching Jesus being crucified, knowing Peter and himself, knowing himself that he had denied the Lord three times. Three times he denied him. And yet Peter said, I will never deny you, Lord. And Jesus says, yes, you will, Peter. Nobody can really say, I'll never deny you, Lord, until you're really tried and tested. We need to be careful what we say. It's not till somebody puts a gun in your head and says, I'm going to pull the trigger if you don't deny the Lord Jesus Christ, then your faith will really be tested. And you know what I believe with all my heart? Is you will have no fear because God will prepare you to die. If that is your time, then you're going to die for Jesus Christ. People that are not in tune, people that are not prepared to die for Christ in this life, I don't think they can die physically. I don't care what they say. This is the reason that Peter wrote this epistle, to let us know that before we enter into heaven, there has to be times of trials and temptations and persecution before we are purified by the Lord. That's the way life is. When you're young, when you're a little kid, everything's happiness, you know? And as you become a teenager, you become a young adult, you start finding out that there are problems in life. And then as you get into your 20s and 30s, you find out, you know what, there are a lot of problems in life. And I'm getting older. And by the time you get to be 40, 50, and into your 60s, you say, wow, you know what, I'm not too far from eternity. And you really need to come to that place in your life and say, you know what, I got to be ready today. I don't care how young or how old you are. Today, the Bible says, is a day of what? Salvation. And Peter must have been tripping out when he saw the Lord there on that cross, and 3 days later when they put him in the tomb and he resurrected. And then he met them for 40 days to instruct them. And then he ascended to heaven. And then on the day of Pentecost, remember what happened? He told them, you guys, don't leave. Go to the city of Jerusalem. Stay there for 10 days. And then the Paracletus is going to come, and you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit on the 50th day. And remember what happened? 120, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, were sitting there. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came and baptized them. And they were never the same. And when I read the Bible and I read the stories of the disciples and Jesus, it encourages me. I said, Lord, bring it on. I don't really care. Why? Because this life's nothing compared to the next life to come. We need to prepare. We need to be ready for the Lord to come. And as we study, as we read, as we listen, as we hear, like Paul the Apostle in Philippians chapter 1, 21, you know what he said? For me to live is Christ, but to die is to gain. I love that. Why? Because we're not of this earth. We're not here forever. We're not here forever. Even things that we possess are temporal. They're not eternal. The only thing that is eternal, guess what? It's your soul. Your soul. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What profit is it to a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Paul the Apostle again in 2 Corinthians 5:1 said, for we know that if our earthly house, if this tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal, check this out, in the heavens. In the heavens. We should never fear death. Never. As Christians, we should say, death, whenever you want to come, you can come. The problem is people are never ready. And we need to be ready for the Lord to come. You know why? We need to focus on the eternal, not the temporal. Oh yeah, we need to work. We need to live in this world, but we're not of this world. We are pilgrims and strangers. And that's why we always got to get up in the mornings and spend time with God. In the afternoons, in the evenings, whenever we get an opportunity, we need to be in the presence of God because we're living in critical days. And we don't need to suffer alone. The Bible says what? He will be there with you in your sufferings. I love that. Listen, Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct or your manner of life be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Never, ever, ever leave you. Hebrews 13:6 says, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men can do to me. I love that. What can men do to me? Physically, they can do a lot of stuff. But spiritually, nothing. 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 They can pluck my eyes. They can cut my hands off. They can shoot me. They can do whatever. But that's only physically. Spiritually, nothing. If God is for me, who can be against me? The Lord is there for us. So now you get the picture of Peter. Peter's standing there. He's writing this epistle to us, knowing in the time that he's living in Roman time when millions of Christians are tortured and are dying. And he begins chapter 4 in such a way that it just kind of blew me away when I was reading it. Because what he emphasizes now in chapter 4 is that we are living for God, not for this world. We are living for God.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com to take advantage of our full range of faith-building resources. You can also join Raul for Straight Talk on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel, Tuesdays at 10 a.m. West Coast time. Let's continue now with more from 1 Peter chapter 4.
Let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. Notice what he says here. The same mind as Christ in suffering we need to have. He says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, then arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh, notice this, has stopped sinning. What does he mean by that? Has stopped sinning? We sin every day. What does he mean? He's going to teach us now the difference between true Christians and phony Christians. This is real heavy stuff here. When I was studying this last 3 weeks, I was just blowing my mind, just reading and studying as much as I could. Because what he does here, first of all, he takes you back to the cross where Jesus Christ was. In verse 1, notice the first part. Therefore, he says, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh. So he's taking you back to the sufferings of Christ when he was on the cross and took upon himself every one of our sins. Never murmuring, never complaining. He became the example on the cross. Why? Because he knew that the church or the Christians, not only in the present time when he lived, but also in the future, there would be a great time of persecution. Now, check this out. When you go home this week, read the book of Revelations, especially from chapter 6 through 18. Those chapters are in reference not to the church. Those chapters are in reference when the church in chapter 4 and 5 of Revelations is taken to heaven at the rapture. And then all hell breaks loose on this earth. You haven't seen nothing yet until you read those chapters. Not even a movie could make it better for you. It's incredible. I don't even know how people will live here in a day of wrath. It's not going to be a day of grace. It's called the wrath of God. For 7 years that God will tell people, repent and they won't repent. There'll be some. But the Bible says they go into hiding into the rocks and they'll say, hide us from the presence of Jesus Christ, and they won't repent. That's how hard people will become. And the Antichrist will govern and rule over the people. And there will be major prosecution and persecution. So the first thing that he does here is he takes us back to what Jesus Christ suffered. Secondly, notice here the exhortation. In verse 1, he says, arm yourselves. Notice what he says here. The word arm here is a special word here. It's only used here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. It was used as a Greek soldier preparing himself for the coming battle by putting on the armor for war. So what he's saying here, arm yourselves, like Paul said in what? Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. Get ready for war. It's coming. Not physical, spiritual warfare. It's going to be huge. Because even in the Bible, it tells us in the tribulation period, in Iraq today, in the Euphrates River, there are demons already in that river locked up in chains, and they're going to be loose in the tribulation period. I've talked to Marines that came back from there. They said, when we were in Iraq, man, you could feel the presence of demonology. It's going to get heavy, but not for the church, not for us. God has given us a way out. That's the rapture of the church. But we can't get comfortable while we know we're going to be taken to heaven. This is a time, this is a day for the church to get busy and to witness and to pray and to do evangelism, to get as many people as we can into the net. And Peter really puts the picture out so clear. Arm yourselves also with the same mind. The word mind here in the Greek literally means your intellect. Or he uses another word too, or attitude. Your intellect or your attitude. Arm yourselves also with the same intellect or your attitude. That is, of a soldier to do spiritual warfare. Be ready. Because these are heavy days. Days of darkness. And yet, as a church, we need to come together and we need to what? Cease from sinning. Look what he says. What does that mean? He says, arm yourselves also with the same mind or attitude, for he who has suffered in the flesh. Notice what he's saying there. He who has suffered in the flesh has stopped sinning. What do you mean? Well, Paul takes us to Romans chapter 6. Let's go to Romans chapter 6 for 1 second. I'm going to show you. Chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Romans, you need to read them together in chapter 8. It's called Reckoning the Old Man to be Dead. Let me read it from this translation. It's pretty cool. In Romans chapter 6, Paul the Apostle, talking to the church, talking to Christians, he says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Think about the question that Paul brings out here. Because there's a lot of Christians that think that grace is cheap. And there's no cheap grace. There are people in our country, in our nation, and around the world that call themselves Christians and they go to church every Sunday morning, every Wednesday night, whenever there's church, they're there. But they only come for what? They come for the fellowship, but they don't really come for the word of God. And I'm not talking about you. There's other people like that. And what happens to these people? These people are very shallow people. These are people that sit in the church and they're still messing boyfriend, girlfriend sexually. There's no conviction. They drink. They take drugs. They lie. They cheat in their taxes. They actually steal from their employers or employees. And there's these people that call themselves Christians, but they're not really, truly born again of the Holy Spirit. Because what Peter is saying, that when the Holy Spirit has really touched you and you really truly have been born again of the Holy Spirit and you're really a child of God, yes, we are weak. And yes, we're going to trip and fall, but we don't willfully go out and sin against God the way we used to when we were in the world. We don't do that anymore. Otherwise, why would I call myself a Christian if I was still hurting and killing people? Peter is saying here that if we truly have suffered like Christ has suffered, if God has really touched my life, and I believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, like Paul's going to tell us here, if we truly have been dying with Jesus Christ, watch what he says, verse 2. He says, we're not going to cheapen God's grace. Verse 2, he says, of course not. No way. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in sin? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? And we died and were buried with him by baptism? Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now also we should live new lives. Notice what he's saying. We've been born again by faith in Jesus Christ. When we will get baptized in water, baptism doesn't save you. It's a picture, a demonstration to the world that I'm standing in the water and I'm going into my grave, being buried. And then I resurrect with Jesus Christ in the newness of life. I'm not the old Raul Ruiz I used to be. I'm the new Raul Ruiz. That's what he's saying. You don't want to confuse people with your Christianity. And so here is Peter encouraging, because here are the real Christians that are dying and giving their lives. And then you got these people that call themselves Christians. And what are they doing? They're compromising. Their lives have been changed. So here Peter says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, then arm yourselves, you guys. Prepare yourselves. Notice, by putting on the armor of God, and have the same intellect or attitude. For he who has suffered in the flesh has, this is what it says, we have ceased to do evil. I like that. We have ceased to do evil. Why? Because now instead of hating, I love people. And I forgive people. I don't want to retaliate anymore.
We hope today's lesson has been a challenge for you to pick up the pace in your relationship with the Lord, no matter what the personal cost might be. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ruiz. Today's lesson is available in its unedited form for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. As you think about how to live out your faith in ways that will point others to Jesus, we'd like to tell you about this entire in-depth study of 1 Peter. This 42-part series is available on both CD and USB. You'll discover that in every challenge and trial, God will empower you with His Holy Spirit and guide you in paths of righteousness to bring glory to His name. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to purchase Raul's 42-message study of 1 Peter. We'll send you the CD collection for $63 or the flash drive for $42. The number again is 800-634-9165. You can also write to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Be sure to take advantage of all of our free resources. You can access them anytime, anywhere. Look for us on iTunes and Spotify for podcasts of all previously aired programs. You'll also find podcasts on the Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel. And for live-streamed teaching and digital Bible studies, download our free Somebody Loves You app. This is a listener-supported ministry, and your partnership enables us to keep sharing the truth of God's Word. Next time, we'll continue with our study of 1 Peter. We'll see that when we fully surrender to the Lord, He'll transform our hearts and lives and fill us with His own Spirit so that we can accomplish mighty things in His name. Now, here's Raul with a closing comment.
I want God to really use my life. I want Him to stretch me to no matter what he wants with my life. I'm being honest with you. And I want God to use your lives too. I beg God to use your lives, Lee. God wants to use your life in such a way you can't even believe it. He will blow you away where you work, where you play, wherever you are. You will blow your minds, you guys. You know why? Because he loves you so much that he's not willing that any person should ever perish, but all should come to repentance. Why? Because he came to be the example. And we need to follow that example by submitting, repenting, loving, and being kind, and at the same time, coming to the cross of Jesus Christ every single day to ask God to forgive us for everything and anything we have done.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.